Hello to those on Zoom. Now you may want to ask why. Well, my wife is at home watching me this morning. And she's incapacitated. She can't be here. I love you, sweetheart, and sorry that you can't be here. We're praying for you. Amen? Yeah. I was thrilled when Neville rang a few weeks ago and said, would you like to preach on Easter Sunday? And I said, you bet. How long have I got? And he said, oh, it's a short service. So I said, oh, not really. I mean, look, we're already 20 to 12. So I'm going to take liberties this morning. I want to talk about resurrection. We tend to look at resurrection Easter Sunday morning, and it's a wonderful thing. The stone's rolled away. It is finished. And we rejoice because Jesus is risen. But I want us to step back and look at this from an eternal perspective. And you go, well, okay, that's kind of important. But it's more than important. You know, the whole idea of the resurrection is it is a foundational truth. It's something that if it didn't happen, we wouldn't have our faith. It's that important. And the other thing is, it's not sort of, God doesn't make things up as he goes along. You know, we have to recognize that this is an eternal truth. It's a planned truth. It's something that is foundational to our faith. So when we talk about the resurrection, we have to talk about it not just as a rejoicing Easter Sunday, which it is, that's wonderful, but we have to think about it in terms of God's plan. I like what Peter had to say about history. You know, AD, BC, it was a change that turned the world upside down. The gospel turned the world upside down, and everything was different after the coming of Christ. I understand there's something like 2,400 religions in the world. We are the only religion that worships a risen Savior. That's not an accident. God planned this from the beginning. And so we have to understand that the foundation of our faith began history past and is part of history future. Everywhere in the scriptures, if we look, we will see that God is in control, that God has a plan, and his plan is being worked out. And he has the benefit of knowing the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the plan was that you would be saved, if you are saved, before the foundation of the world. Now stop just for a minute and think about that concept. So we're going back before he created the world. We're going back to the place where there was nothing. And God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided this is what is going to happen. And this is how it's going to proceed. And this is how it's going to end. And this is how eternity future is going to look. All that is planned. And it's all under control. And we're supposed to love the Lord our God, trusting in that plan. When we talk about nothing, we're talking about nothing. I love the Latin here, ex nihilo. Nihilo means nothing, and it means without. It's nothing, nothing, and then nothing again. All right? So when God the Father, Almighty God, and his Son and Jesus Christ prepared the foundations, there was nothing. And then they spoke everything into existence, their plan. And time and space was created. We'd be lost without time, wouldn't we? Imagine a situation. I love this thought. When we get to heaven, there's no time. There's no day, there's no night. It's just forever. Joyously with our Lord, praising him and worshiping him. We are his eternal creation. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You are not an accident. I hate it when people start talking about evolution. Evolution is accident-based, all right? As a Christian, I am not an accident. You are not an accident. This was decided before the foundation of the world, and resurrection is part of that plan. I'm glad Peter used that expression earlier on. He's talking about, I am the resurrection. This is Lazarus, if you remember the story. Lazarus died, and Martha said when Jesus came back, he'd been dead 3 or 4 days, when Jesus came back, Martha said, if you were here, Martha said, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, you will see him. And she said, yeah, we know that. We know about the resurrection. We'll see him in the future. And Jesus had got it wrong. What did he say? I am. I am the name of God. I am the resurrection. And so we, without Jesus Christ, Paul says in the God, in his writings, he says, we're without the resurrection, our faith is empty. We have no faith. We have to have the resurrection because we have to have that sacrifice on our behalf. And in the Old Testament saints were looking forward to that time when the Savior would come. And of course, they didn't quite have a right understanding of what was involved in the resurrection and death and the burial and the resurrection. They thought that he would liberate Israel and his kingdom would come and it would be glorious. But God always wanted the hearts and the minds of his people particularly, but anybody who could love the Lord and anybody could become a saint in the Old Testament if they just accepted that they needed to seek the Lord and to find the Lord and to love him with all their hearts and all their minds. The Old Testament saints could look forward to the time when the Savior would come. And God created us to acknowledge him and to love him and to care for him and to be one with him, because we will spend eternity with him. And so we are just making our way through this life. And the resurrection is a fact that we can draw on and we can hold to. And God knew that man would, you know, when they were deciding to create man, they decided to create man with a free will. You have a free will, yeah? You can decide what you want to do. And God allowed that. But he also knew that man would fall, because free will is always a problem. We can do and say what we like, but there are always repercussions to what we say and to what we do. And so he knew we would fall, and so there had to be a redemption plan in the plan. And so we understand that that's true. And I love it in Hebrews when it talks about, you know, there must be the shedding of blood and the innocent for the guilty and so on. But it says necessary that the patterns of these things, there was a plan. And the pattern of that plan was that this is what's going to happen. We're going to create man. Man is going to fall. He's going to need to be redeemed. We will therefore provide redemption in the form of a Savior. And that Savior will die. And the first fruits will be the raising of that Savior. And that will be the picture that mankind can see from then on. This is what happens. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved. And we're saved for eternity. And that salvation cannot be lost. I met a man one time, and I preached, and obviously upset him somehow. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, I don't agree with all that, you know, salvation is secure stuff. And I said, well, you should read your Bible. The Bible's pretty clear about what should happen here. No, he said, I mean, I sin, and I know I need then to be forgiven. So he said, I pray and ask God to forgive me, and I know he forgives me. But then I sin and I fall again, and so it goes on. I said, so if you have a bad thought now and you get hit by a truck, you don't go to heaven? That's right, he said. Oh, look, I pray for that man. All right, that's not part of God's eternal plan. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen? Say that a bit louder, okay? Let me believe it. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen. That's right. And so we should know that we are part of that plan. Why? Because Jesus died for you and he died for me. And that's the pattern that we understand he created. And we know the sacrifices were necessary. We look at the Old Testament and we see all the rules about the sacrifices, the innocent for the guilty. And so we know that that was part of the plan. That was part of the pattern, part of what was necessary. For we are not redeemed with silver and gold. You can't be bought. And we can't buy redemption. So all of the money you put in the offering, although we love it, okay, because the church needs it, that's not going to buy you anything in terms of what God wants. God wants this. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your love. And we are redeemed with the blood of Christ. That sacrifice was absolutely necessary because it was part of God's redemptive plan. And foreordained. I love that word. That means something was ordained. It was set in stone and this had to happen. And this happened before anything. We're talking about in the plan, in the beginning, it was foreordained before everything, before the foundation of the world. And then when Jesus Christ came, he manifested what was planned. And so his death and his burial and his resurrection were part of that plan. It is finished, he cried. And it's a wonderful thought. For it's appointed unto us once to die and then the resurrection. These things are linked. One day we will die. And actually, I'm quite looking forward to that. As you get older, it gets more attractive because your body starts to fall away and things go wrong. And you go, I'm looking forward to that day. Why? Because absent from the body, present with the Lord. No difference. It's a one-step process. Why? Because the resurrection happened. Jesus Christ was the first fruits. I'm going to be one of the second, third, fourth, fifth. I'm going to be one of the fruits. I don't mind that. Look forward to that. Because then we know that Christ was, he was offered to bear the cost, bear the sin price, be the Savior. And it's interesting that when God talks about the nation of Israel and he talks about the lost and the saved, talks about goats and sheep. And I love the way that Jesus talks about that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and I give unto them eternal life. And we understand that. But if we look at the big picture and we look from eternity past to eternity future, there's going to be a lot of sheep and there's going to be a lot of goats. And those are set aside. And unfortunately, the decision about whether to be a sheep or a goat is made in this lifetime and can't be overturned. And then God says, I know my sheep. I've known them from the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you would accept Christ or reject him. I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life. Before the foundation of the world, the resurrection plan was necessary. And nothing can change that. Almighty God is outside of time and space. Almighty God knows all things. He's omniscient, all-knowing. And the Lord knows us. Who are his and who are not. And so we know that simple plan of salvation. And I hope you're saved today. But if not, you need to know the plan of salvation. And nothing could be better than to hear it on Resurrection Sunday. There is none. Bible says, as written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. You know, we're not going to get away with sin. It's there. It's like a prison sentence hanging over us. And we're all guilty of it. And if you don't think you're guilty of sin, you ask someone near to you. And they'll tell you, yeah, well, sorry. When the Bible says all, it means all. It's one of those 100% words. And there's no margin of error. There's no 5% either way. It's all. All have sinned and come short of the glory. But God knew that. And before the foundation of the world, he touched your heart and you either responded or you did not, and he knows that. You were either his or not. God commanded his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we know, as we rejoice on Resurrection Sunday, we rejoice because God died for me in the form of his Son and my Savior, so that I might be ransomed. And he died for you, so that you might be ransomed. This was part of the plan from the beginning, the eternal plan, the fundamental plan. And all we have to do is believe. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't pay your way into heaven. You can't good works your way into heaven. Faith is required. And that is the only thing that is required. I was talking to someone just recently, and they kind of were arguing about that. And I said to them, think about the thief on the cross for just a moment. He had done nothing to earn his salvation. In fact, he said to the other thief, hey, you and I, we need to be here because we've earned this. He's dying. And he's saying he recognizes his sin. And then he just asks the Lord to save him. And he was saved. Jesus said, today you'll walk with me in paradise. It's just simple faith. And that's all that was required. And once we understand that, once we have accepted Christ, we are no longer condemned. We are no longer guilty. Because we have Christ as our Savior. We have accepted. And under the law, the shedding of blood covers the sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for us so that we might be redeemed. And so resurrection is fundamentally part of the plan. And our faith is empty without it. If you're not saved today, let me encourage you. You need to trust Christ. Okay, there's, and if you do, you have the confidence, this happened before the foundation of the world. God chose me and touched me, and the Holy Spirit moved in me, and I needed to know salvation through Christ, and he will do that for you. And let me tell you, it changes your life. My life was changed when I was saved. And I worry about Christians whose life has not changed, because we are supposed to be new creatures, new people. And if you've never experienced that, come and talk to me or talk to someone in the church, because it's so important. And today is a good day to get saved. Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, how powerful it is. And Lord, it's a wonder that we can recognize that our salvation was established before the foundation of the world, that you knew our hearts would turn to you and love you, and you indwelt us with the Holy Spirit, that, Father, we might be saved eternally, part of your eternal plan. And so we ask today, there be anyone here today that's unsaved. We pray, Father, today would be the day of salvation. And for us who rejoice this Sunday in our risen Lord, may we be a blessing to each other, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.